This podcast is part of the Midwest Podcast Network. Find out more about our other shows and how to support our network at MidwestPodcastNetwork.com.
Everybody, and welcome to Horror Movie Yearbook. I am one of your co-hosts, Mr. Tim Long. I am joined by my fellow Horror Movie Yearbook co-host, Mr.
Willie Gibbs.
Willie Gibbs. And we have, I guess he'd be the television expert.
Yeah, like when we need to talk about like long-form storytelling, this is the guy we talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Nikki talks about long form storytelling when it comes to like the Hellraiser or the Halloween.
Yeah, plan. Like yeah, that's true. I suppose I should correct that. Yeah, for sure. Like
because the
like,
continuity in those is right on point.
On point. Absolutely. But no, Alex is definitely an expert in television.
Oh yeah, introduce yourself, Alex.
I'm Alex.
Yes.
Hi.
You Alex. Might remember Alex from our commentary episode on Sleepaway Camp.
Uh huh.
Or our commentary episode on
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm only allowed on abnormal episodes of Horror Movie Yearbook.
Yeah.
Because I have nothing to contribute on the normal ones.
Oh, you remember it from our April Fool's Day joke, too.
Yeah. If you listen to that.
Yeah.
There was one person. Thanks, Tom.
But you are our television expert. This segue. I blew it. I didn't blow it. I nailed it. Because you host two podcasts about TV shows.
That's great. I had no idea where you were going with that.
Well, I celebrated it before I did it.
I didn't.
I was so impressed with my own genius.
Yeah, I guess I am the television expert. I don't feel like one, but I'll take it anyway.
Yeah, tell us about the two podcasts you host.
So on the Midwest Podcast Network, I host Gone to Texas along with Nick, our Midwest Film Nerds alum. And we also do a show called Westworld FM about Westworld. Both of these shows are not on the air at the moment. The next one up will be Westworld at some point in the spring. Preacher just finished up a couple weeks ago. We still need to do a season two wrap-up show.
Did you do the last episode?
We did do the last episode. So all of our recap episodes are done. I think it was all very good podcasting, and I hope you guys listen and enjoy it.
Yes. Good.
I think season two of Preacher just came out on DVD, so it's a great time to tune into Preacher and then listen to us.
Yeah, you can do catch up.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah, sure. Westworld. Yep. Westworld's when? Spring?
Westworld comes out this spring. It just came out on Blu-ray. And I was thinking about doing like a rewatch kind of thing, but I haven't figured out how we want to do that yet. So.
Okay.
But yeah, keep an eye out on that for like March-ish. We don't really know for sure when it's coming back yet.
Okay.
But
stars Jimmy Marsden.
Yes. Somebody got injured on the set.
Okay.
They didn't tell us who, and they said that it shut down production. So things are
so
very,
somebody important as opposed to all the unimportant
well,
people.
Yeah. No, but it's weird because they're somehow able, because it's a Jonathan Nolan joint, they're able to be very secret about it, whereas right. Everybody figures everything out about Game of Thrones for some reason. So I just thought that was interesting and weird.
I hope it's not Jimmy Marsden.
I hope not.
I hope it's a lie. I hope nobody's injured.
That'd be
well,
nice
yeah,
too.
I agree.
Yeah.
But somebody's probably hurt. And I hope it's not Jimmy Marsden.
And we got one more show. You got the Game Nerds.
Yeah.
What are you playing this week?
Midwest Game Nerds. This week we're going to be reviewing Assassin's Creed Origins.
Okay.
Based
on the Michael Fassbender movie.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. That'll be out on Sunday. We're going to record it live on Twitch on Sunday at 7:30 Eastern at twitch.tv/MidwestGameNerds if you guys want to join us. Otherwise, it'll be on the podcast feed. And I've taken up too much time in this episode.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
So
yeah,
you're not
going
to...
You guys Twitch them first. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say you're not going to make it over for Survivor Series.
I will not. I'm sorry. My regular host or regular podcasting duties preclude me from the wrestling.
Talking
event.
About Sting.
Yeah. Right. I'm picking Sting to win everything.
Good.
Because
good.
I always do.
A wise choice.
And one of these days it's going to pay off.
Yeah. I just want to play a clip from Desert Rose right there.
Fields of gold.
All right. All right. Well, let's. We're not getting started yet. We're going to do some feedback real quick.
Okay.
Because we had a very nice iTunes review.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
I'm very honored to be here.
No problem. We had a very nice iTunes review, and then my podcast app crashed.
Oh, no.
So
that's not good. I have a new iPhone, by the way. I'm pretty excited about it.
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about that last
time. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Okay. We didn't talk about this one. This one was from a couple weeks ago. I think we missed it last week. But we got a Mrs. B055 says, absolutely fantastic. 3 exclamation points. That's the subject. This podcast is an absolute joy to listen to. I already listened to a few different horror podcasts, but this premise and the fact that Willie and Tim are so engaging sets this podcast out from the rest. A definite recommendation for casual to hardcore horror fans. Thank you very much, Mrs. B055.
Mrs. B, you're super cool.
Yes.
We like you.
Exactly.
In internet speak, that may be Mrs. Boss. So, Mrs. Boss.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
We should call her Mrs. Boss, yeah.
I like that name.
It's much less wordier than Miss B055, but...
Well, that could be it either way.
Wow, we did not pick up on that one.
I'm the resident internet person.
Internet expert.
Internet translator? That's good.
Yeah, Willie and I just tend to be experts on, I don't know, like...
Sometimes we're experts on horror movies.
But it's mostly like... It's supposed to be like Halloween 3 or like Halloween 6.
We're really good at that.
You guys are also big experts in morning news show hosts. lewd con, not lewd conduct. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, but the skeletons in their closet.
Yes, yes. I really enjoyed that part of the show.
I'm writing a tell-all pretty soon about...
For legal reasons, you should not do that.
About bleep, bleep. And their penchant for cocaine.
I really enjoyed that. No, I listen to you guys every episode that I'm not on, and I enjoy your show very much.
I'm glad.
This is my live iTunes review for you guys.
Cool. I dig that.
And we always like iTunes reviews. Please leave them.
I'm going to give it 3 stars, but I really do appreciate and enjoy you guys.
Okay.
That's passing, right?
Yeah.
6 out of 10.
I mean, you don't want to come off as having a bias, right? Right.
No, I can't.
That makes sense.
Can you do half stars? I hate that you can't do half stars on most of these things now. Because sometimes, like, I'll read a book or I'll watch a movie. I'm like, you got to get a half there. Cause
I hate ratings anyway. It's all arbitrary. My 5 now might not be my 5 in the future.
Right.
So why give it a 5 at all?
And then you got people going like, hey, you gave this a 5. You gave this a 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, I did. And then we had a couple responses to our who's your favorite thing on Facebook. Who's your favorite Stranger Things character?
Oh, yes.
Nancy, listener. Wonderful person. She says Maury and Bob were the best in season 2, and I love the Steve and Dustin duo. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, we will.
Darn right we will.
And then Alex Gojo.
Not me.
Nope. Gojo, who you will know from the Sleepaway Camp. We showed him Sleepaway Camp for the first time, and he screamed in ecstasy.
Yes.
I need a better
word. Yeah, I don't know.
Joy.
Joy. Yeah, thank you. Number 1, Ted Wheeler. Number 2, Lucas's sister. And I'm so happy someone said Lucas's sister because she's amazing.
Yes. She's incredible.
Willie, you want to tell the good people where they can leave us some feedback?
Yeah, sure. Facebook is always a good way to do that. We try to post a question every episode, usually about whatever year we're covering, but that's facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook. We're on Twitter. You can tweet at us. Go ahead and tweet your heart out. HM Yearbook is what we're on Twitter. Or send us an email. We like emails. If you got something a little longer, maybe you want to ask us some questions.
If the 280 characters you can have on Twitter now are just not enough.
Right. Yeah. Then by all means, email us horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com.
Yes.
And then, like I said, like Tim said, leave us a review on iTunes. You just give us a rating. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
That's cool.
You can rate them 5 stars and then say whatever you want in the review.
Yeah, you can literally rate us 5 stars. And
if you
want
to write an ad for your podcast in the iTunes review and just give them 5 stars, I'll allow it.
That's fine.
You know?
I don't care. I mean, I don't know. Write about Steve from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I'd read that.
Yeah, if someone could do that, yeah. But there's been a lot of writing about Steve recently.
Well, there should be.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think someone needs to write some sort of psychoanalysis on, what's his name, the new kid.
Yeah, he's interesting.
Is it Billy?
Billy. Yeah.
Billy. Yeah. We will psychoanalyze him later. All right, and guess what we're going to be talking about today?
What's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Stranger Things.
Oh, cool.
Everybody loves it.
Seems like it.
Came out, was it last year it came out?
Yep. Yeah.
Quite a kind of a cultural phenomenon there for a little bit.
It really was, still is.
Yeah, that's
true. You guys jumped on this pretty early because you recorded a podcast covering it that you can find at the Midwest Film Nerds podcast feed.
It's a perfectly paired double feature review of Tim and I talking about Jason Bourne and then Nick and Willie and I talking about Stranger Things season one.
Wow.
And the two go together like butter and Italian dressing.
Yeah.
So, check that out.
Because I did not watch this until a few months ago.
Yeah.
I think is what I first watched it. So I fell behind. So I got all the hype. Everybody hyped it up right after it came out because everybody, it blew up and everyone went crazy. Yeah. And then I got the backlash because people were like, it's not that good. Nostalgia porn. And then I watched it and I went, it's pretty good. Where did you guys, let's get your thoughts on season one. Let's start with our guest, Alex.
I liked season one, which is, I can be the proof against the nostalgia porn argument because I was not alive in the 80s and therefore I can't be nostalgic for them. Can I?
Mm. This is very interesting, and I actually want to get into it a lot. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We can come back around to that.
Yeah.
But I think I really enjoyed that first season, despite not really having I could find some similarities and mirrors to my childhood in it, but I just felt like it was a very accessible thriller horror season of TV, and it was 8 episodes, which is the perfect length for a Netflix series, and I thought that they did a really good job, and the Duffer brothers, who hadn't really done anything before that, had this fully realized idea that I think turned out better than anybody in that situation could have anticipated. So I really enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I liked it a lot too. It was weird because it was one of those things that just popped up on Netflix and I was like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah. All right.
And I just like put it on like a Sunday afternoon. And I'm like, oh, let's watch some of this. And I like wound up watching like all 8 like that day or the within the next 2 days. It was crazy. Nikki and I both watched and we both loved it. And I think I think the thing is, a lot of the time when you get these shows or movies that are kind of trying to like hit a nostalgic chord, it feels forced and it feels a little bit, I know, like it's pandering a little bit. The first season of Stranger Things never felt like that to me. It felt more like, I mean, they were wearing their influences on their sleeve. They were not shying away in interviews or really just in the show itself from saying, yeah, we're not, I don't want, ripping off isn't the right word, the right term, but yeah, we're borrowing elements from things that we enjoyed growing up and types of stories we liked, and you know, the Amblin stuff that they grew up on, and the Stephen King stuff that they grew up on, and even some of the just the kind of classic 80s sci-fi movies, you know. And I mean, they weren't like, I don't know, they weren't hiding behind this like guise of being super intelligent and, you know, like coming up with this stuff, you know. I mean, they came up with their own story in their own world, but like they were not shying away from just saying, yeah, no, this is inspired by Stephen King work, this is inspired by. So the people that came out kind of afterwards, and it is what it is, if you don't like the show, you don't like the show, but the people came out afterwards and like nostalgia porn, I'm like, yeah, yes, kind of like that's
and I think it's an interesting argument for that to make too, because King wears his influences on his sleeve all the
110%.
Time. And someone like Carpenter, who's another one that influences the show, Carpenter, I think, is even cop to it. He's basically, his whole career remade Rio Bravo, like the Howard Hawks. Like he has said, like, no, like that's what he's, and people that like study Carpenter, they're like, no, this, he's just making that movie over and over.
Yes.
And like, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of what you're supposed to do as an artist. You take the influences that you have and then you filter them through your own voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yeah. It's one of those things that I've kind of been, as I've been tossing other podcast ideas around in my head, the idea of looking at things that people say are like, oh, well, you know, this did it first. Like everybody's favorite film critic, Armand White, is like, you should really watch this film from 1935 that yeah. did it first. It's like somebody does it first every time. That doesn't mean that it can't be improved on any amount of years later. So it's kind of like it's I think the nostalgia porn argument just really falls apart for me, because it's like if it was just now, I haven't read Ready Player One, but I've heard from a lot of people that the book Ready Player One is just straight up, hey guys, remember Atari? Like, that's basically what I've heard it is. So I don't feel like this show does that at all. This isn't like, you know, there's no part of it where I walk through and I'm like, oh, this is it. Now that I've even seen it and I can even think back to that. There's no part of it to me that just feels like it is whole cloth lifting from the page and not altering and doing something different. So to the people who say nostalgia porn, fuck you.
All right.
Unless you're our listeners.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to get a little crass here, and I'm sorry, but some of the characters in the show are kind of crass. When it comes to the nostalgia thing, there are two examples. There's puking and pooping, right? Okay. Here's where I'm going with this. So you're, as a creator, you're ingesting this stuff, these inspirations, and the right way to do it is to poop. Right? Everybody likes a good poop from time to time. You ingest it, you let it circulate through your own body. You let some of yourself go with it, and it takes its time.
You make it your own.
It takes its time, it gestates for a bit, and then when it's ready to be released, it releases. When you drink too much and you throw up, you're ingesting that same stuff and you're just like, you just throw it right back out there. The world doesn't want that. Be a pooper.
That's fair enough.
Right?
Yeah.
Be a pooper, not a puker.
I didn't think that was crass. Scientific.
Tim and I really weren't ready to buy into this analogy, but I think you really got it.
No, I think it's a fair analogy. It's a little crass, like I said, but so what? Like, it's not like our listeners
don't
know
what we're
getting
into.
There's a
little bit of a subtext of like, well, all the poop comes out looking the same, but maybe
that's not true. No. Hold on. All right,
no.
Let's not get into details. I'm just saying there are plenty of different varieties. And
fair enough,
you know,
fair enough.
Excellent. Willie, did you have anything to say other than the poop and puke analogy?
I think it's a cool show, and I think season one is kind of a nice, I don't know, just felt like weirdly enough, considering all the nostalgia talk we just got into, it feels like a breath of fresh air in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the only thing I wanted to because I came to it later, and I came after pretty much everybody had seen it. But the only thing I wanted to say is I think people in TV nowadays have been like super spoiled with like first seasons of a TV show being way better than ever in the history of TV shows.
Yeah.
Like so many. Mad Men is the one I always think of because I watched it, mm-hmm. but I know I hear all sorts of season one. Like, give me another one, somebody.
Well, like when The Wire hit. Right?
Yeah, The Wire is probably a good example.
Breaking Bad.
That's Eastbound the one I was looking at. Eastbound and Down. But these ideas have formulated in these creators' heads mm-hmm. forever, and then they get out. Yeah, and they get out, and like the first seasons they're great, and not every show has that. Like some shows, like Buffy's a really good example. Buffy's kind of a mess the first season, but then it grows into something really special later on. The reason I bring that up is because I watched this and I had issues with it. I didn't love the first season. I thought it was really good. And I went, wow, for a first season of a TV show, like that's pretty good. Like there's a lot of potential there.
It's a strong showing.
It's a very strong first season of a TV show. And sometimes I think because TV has gotten so good, I think you have to maybe step back and, provide some context to what you're watching. So.
Yeah.
Or some perspective.
Not only is it a first season of a TV show, but it's a first season of a TV show by a duo that didn't do anything major before that.
Yes.
So that, even on that level, it's even more surprising.
Full
me.
Of young actors. And Yeah.
And it's not like Winona Ryder was the only like name brand, and Matthew Modine, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or the two.
I forgot about Matthew.
Yeah, how did you forget?
No, I almost forgot that he was. I love his his portrayal of David Cronenberg in the first season.
We didn't really spoil much from season two yet, did we?
No.
Okay. No, I don't think
so. Because I want to give people fair warning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
now.
We're going to spoil
it. I don't even think we necessarily spoiled anything from season one either.
No, okay. I just was thinking like maybe we shot out like one thing where people
no.
like, ah.
No, I think
I wouldn't blame them. But I want to give people fair warning. When we start talking about season two and maybe we might that might slip in. No, because we're going to be talking about season two pretty soon. Just be fair warned. We're going to just spoil it like crazy.
Yeah.
So if you haven't finished it yet, finish it. Or if you don't care about spoilers, go ahead and listen. But if you haven't finished it yet, finish it and then come back and listen. So I wanted to give everybody that heads up while I remembered.
That's fair.
Any more season one thoughts?
No, I mean, those duffers, they're poopers, man.
Yeah. One of my all-time favorite TV show intros also.
But. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the theme is really cool. And I love the use of the Stephen King font.
The font and the Carpenter music.
And if
the Carpenter style music.
Very Carpenter. Yeah.
If anybody's looking for a listening recommendation, there's a podcast called Song Exploder, and they had the people who composed the theme on that show to talk about making the theme. And it's a very cool little dissection of how they put it together and what they
do. Do they mention John Carpenter?
I can't remember if they do by name. I would presume they do, but it's nice. It's like a 20-minute episode and they just kind of break it down. So it's cool to check it out.
All right. You guys got, who's your favorite character from season one?
Dustin, probably.
Dustin.
I'm a pretty heavy Chief Hopper man.
Chief Hopper?
Yeah. He's so good.
Is he a chief?
I don't know, but he is in my heart.
He's the chief of your heart.
I think he's the chief of Hawkins.
I thought
he was
sheriff.
Sheriff, maybe.
If he's the sheriff of your heart, who's the deputy?
The Demogorgon.
Doesn't have to be somebody from Stranger Things.
Deputy. I'm just going to say Paul Reubens because he was the first person that popped
into my head. That's beautiful.
Deputy Paul Reubens?
Yes.
We're going to do something here. We got a BuzzFeed quiz. Everybody loves them. Can't get enough of them. I actually don't see them that much anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because after November, I've just blocked everybody on social media.
You blocked all the people that would do a BuzzFeed quiz.
So I've got a BuzzFeed quiz here. It's which Stranger Things character are you actually?
Oh, I love the actually at the end there.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, because it's going to tell you for sure.
This isn't your father's Stranger Things quiz.
No, this is not some BS quiz that you'd find on like one of those garbage Facebook
and
sites.
And this is from a Barb fan because they go, FYI, getting Barb means you're the best. We should talk about Barb because there was some hullabaloo.
I think
Barb.
We can get into Barb in season two.
Do we have
two.
To talk about Barb?
I think we might have to because people were really mad about Barb in season one. What happened to her?
Yeah, justice for Barb. Was
justice
the
for
hashtag.
Barb was like a big thing, and I get it. But I think it was just kind of a miss on the writing staff where they just like, oh, I guess they moved on, and like they're like, no, you can't move on from Barb.
I think it was one of those things where like Shannon Purser, the actress who plays Barb, is really good. Like she
got nominated.
She did a good job.
Yeah.
And they happened on a good performance, and therefore for them to lose the ability to use her in the future,
right,
after people like her so much, like champion this unknown actress. You know,
I wish her nothing but the best. I had no strong feelings
if
for
you
Barb.
Miss Barb, go watch Riverdale.
Oh my god. Yes. I didn't even realize that.
Yes, she's in Riverdale as a side character, but she does a great job.
She does. Thank you, Alex. All right, so this is which Stranger Things character are you? I'm going to go back and forth. I took this earlier today. I want you to know I got Steve. I took a picture of it. Steve's my favorite character. He's the best character on the show. And now I am in the same breath as Steve.
Good.
I'm probably more.
Tim, you're a Steve.
You're Steve-esque.
Steve-esque? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't say like a full Steve,
Tim,
but...
Tim, you are season two Steve.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
Season two Steve is a different beast.
You are end of season one Steve.
I like to think of myself more as a Matthew Modine.
I think your heart and your soul, you are Matthew Modine. Yeah. But I think that...
I'm probably more of a Sean Astin.
No. I don't know.
I like Kenny Rogers.
Well, I mean, who doesn't? But I... Yeah.
Okay, so first question. We got to get into this. Pick a Spielberg film. I'm going to give you six choices here. And Alex, I'm going to have you pick first. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Catch Me If You Can, Saving Private Ryan, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, E.T., Jaws.
Oh, Catch Me If You Can.
Okay, nice choice. All right, Willie?
Temple of Doom.
Nice choice. I love Temple of Doom. Spielberg hates it too, so.
It's my least favorite.
Spielberg's a big dummy.
Not including Crystal Skull, but anyway.
Pick a Stephen King novel. The Stand, The Dark Tower, The Gunslinger. So just The Gunslinger. 11-22-63, The Dead Zone, Misery, or It. This is Alex.
I'm going to pick 11-22-63 because I've heard that's the one I would like the most. You dig time I've read travel. None of those.
You dig time travel.
Yes.
It.
Yeah, but I picked The Stand, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I think I did it on act. No, I picked The Gunslinger.
I was like, I don't think you liked The Stand, yeah, if I remember right.
I didn't like The Stand. All right, let's get back to Alex here. Pick a theme song. I'm guessing this is your theme song.
Okay.
But when I did it, I just picked my favorite of these. Heroes by David Bowie. White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. I Melt With You by Modern English. Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash. Raise a Little Hell by Trooper. Go Nowhere by Reagan Youth.
I'm going to pick Melt With You.
I picked that too.
Yeah, me too.
You didn't go with the Bowie song.
No, I do really like that Bowie song, though. But
there are a lot of other Bowie songs that would have been the winner, but...
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Pick a superpower. Telekinesis, super strength, telepathy, flight, healing / regeneration, or invisibility. Alex?
Healing, regeneration.
Telekinesis.
Very nice. I picked invisibility.
That's cool.
Yeah, I want to be Hollow Man. Pick a word. Oh my god, there's so many words. Family, faith, strength, brains, brawn, brute, heart, hunger, hope, loyal, outsider, perfect.
Family.
Yeah, family.
I saw that Alex got that, maybe laugh. Oh my god. Okay. So Alex, you got Joyce Byers. You're strong-willed and never give up on what you believe in. You'll do anything it takes to protect the ones you love.
She was my least favorite character in this.
Willie, you got The Monster. It just says The Monster. And it says, run. That's it.
I'm pretty psyched that I got the monster. Which monster did it show? The Demogorgon?
No, it just seriously, it doesn't even show the monster in this game. This may have come out like... before, like, people were like, can't spoil what it looks like because it just shows a bunch of letters.
Very strange. Well, then,
very strange gift. All right, so
strange. Yeah. Stranger Things.
It's a Stranger Thing. That's it. Let's get into season two.
Okay.
Right. It's been out for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I finally finished it today. I am not a binge watcher. This was tough for me to fit in like 3 weeks.
I finished it last night.
Did you? So, yeah. Okay. Well, you finished this way before us.
Yeah, I finished it in one day.
Well, well, you're married to Nikki.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, thank you. And she can watch some shows.
Oh, yeah. Can she?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very impressive. I think we've talked about it on the podcast. I think we talked with Nikki
about
it.
She started compiling a list of the shows she's watched since we've been married just to get an idea.
Oh, God.
And
which isn't like... It's you guys have been married for...
May of 2015.
Yeah, so you're at a little over two years. Guys, but it's a lot.
Guys, she literally doesn't have anything left to watch on Netflix in terms of TV shows. Like, that she's interested in. She's done.
Yeah, and she's not picking, like 4-season shows.
She doesn't like that. No, she wants something that's, like, 8-9 seasons.
She wants something to sink her teeth into.
She watched Supernatural.
Yeah.
12 seasons of Supernatural.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Wow.
Only 2 weeks? Because Amy, my girlfriend, watched it, and it took her a couple months, and I was impressed.
It took her, like, 2 weeks.
She's like, I really liked that. But 2 weeks?
I'm pretty sure if you took the runtime of all those TV shows, it would be more than the two and a half years you guys have been married. Somehow. She's probably got, like, a phone and an iPad and a laptop.
I know what she does.
Yeah.
I won't talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I know what she does. Let's just say she watches Netflix maybe when she shouldn't be watching Netflix. Yeah. She more listens to Netflix.
All right. Well, we've discussed your viewing habits now.
Now that I feel disgusted with myself.
Season 2 of Stranger Things. We're going to spoil it. Last warning. Okay, so here's a funny story.
Yeah, run.
Run. Here's a funny story. I'm going to start off with a big spoiler right away.
Yeah.
Willie and I, on one of our walks, I like to call them our pre-production meetings, but they're yes. just walking around the building at our work. Willie brought up, he's like, hey, how good was Sean Astin in this show? I'm like, yeah, he's great. He's like, yeah, did you, like, where are you? I'm like, I'm in the last episode. He's like, yeah, what'd you think of Sean Astin? Like, where did you leave Sean Astin off at? I'm like, oh, he's hanging out. Like, he's just around.
And he's like, and he, the thing is, I'm thinking at this juncture, I'm sorry to interject. No, I'm thinking at this juncture, I'm like, I don't want to say anything, but motherfucker's in the last episode. I'm like, I'm fairly certain Sean Astin's been eaten alive at this point. And so I'm like, this is weird. Am I misremembering this show? Anyway.
So anyway, I'm at work today. I'm break and I'm looking at my phone and I'm like reading through, I'm preparing and I see Sean Astin, like his character is Bob, right?
Yeah.
Bob, like he's died. He's dead. He was killed. And so I like immediately messaged Willie. I'm like, wait, Sean Astin died? And luckily Willie knows that I do not know characters' names. And he's like, yeah, he died in the second to last episode. He didn't think like I actually thought like Sean Astin is dead. And so he's like, yeah, he died in the second of the last episode. Did you not see it? I go, no. And he goes, yeah, it was super mean, too. He's like, I thought when I was talking to you yesterday, I thought it was weird. I think I was like making like because I watch it in the mornings before work. And I think I was kind of rushed out the door and I was making coffee and I apparently missed his entire death scene. And I'm bummed for two reasons, because I like the character and I was super bummed out when I found out he died. I was just like, so during the whole last episode, apparently I'm just like, I'll shut it. Bob will be back. but then I was bummed out also because Willie's like, yeah, it was really mean.
Yeah. It's super mean because like, he's like, did you watch it afterwards?
No, maybe I should bring it up.
He's like trying to get out of the lab. And there's like a couple of really like, you think he's going to go out, but he doesn't moments. Like he survives somehow. And so you're like, oh, awesome, Bob's going to make it. And just when you think he's going to make it, like he gets torn to pieces.
So it's kind of like a Jurassic World type situation.
Yeah. like they show them like ripping Bob's intestines out. And stuff.
Yeah. The thing is that he makes it into the lobby where Joyce and Hopper are trying to get out of the building.
Like he gets through like hell.
And like he
to get to Joyce.
Like you see him, there's like a pause essentially where she's surprised to see him. And he stops, and I don't know how you read the situation, Willie, but to me, it was kind of almost like a like he was like, I shouldn't have done this. Like, I should not have led these things to Joyce. Like, I should not have even chanced.
Yeah, I could see
trying
that.
To get out.
Right.
Which it's an interesting character moment, I think. Maybe it's me reading into it too much because I do two podcasts where we talk about a minute of a TV show for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, but I'll miss Bob. I will. Like, he's hanging out somewhere with, what's her name?
Barb.
Bob and Barb.
Yeah,
Barb.
See that spinoff.
So I wanted to bring that up before we get started here, because I want to let everybody know what they're dealing with when they're dealing with me, which is someone who apparently is going to need major moments from Stranger Things season 2.
Well, and I
be recounted to him.
I should preface this, too. I confuse Mike and Will. Their names a lot.
Yeah, I do.
So, so if you think I mean Will and I really mean Mike, like if you suspect I might be wrong, please let me know because it might be worth it for me to correct the record or make sure I'm.
They actually look kind of similar, don't they, Will and Mike?
Yeah, in the sense that they're both brown-haired 10-year-old white kids, like and males, like you know, yeah. But.
You've got this. I'm watching the death of Bob, and you've got it in like slow mo, and there are closed captions on that are not in English.
Oh, well, I just picked the first video I found. Enjoy.
Oh, okay. So while I'm watching this, let's get some thoughts on season 2 overall. I'm going to start with Willie. Oh, this is in Spanish.
Okay, cool. This is the way to experience Bob's death. Yeah, no, I like season 2. I don't think it's as good as season 1 overall, I'll say that. I think the high points are very high. I think it suffers pretty heavily, and I don't think season 1 suffered as much, pretty heavily from that mid-season Netflix slump of interest for me. All the performances are great. Everything's up to snuff in terms of quality. The issue I have here is it seems a little unfocused for me, and I think season 1 was very focused. And for 9 episodes of television to not be able to keep your focus, at least keep kind of a cohesive drive towards something, which I didn't feel like this did, that's kind of a fail in my opinion. Especially when there's plenty of like 22 episode shows that can do it. So that's a bit of a miss. And I'm not nuts in shows when they decide that they want to break up the ensemble cast completely for an entire season. Do not mind them grouping off characters for an episode or two. There's plenty of shows that have done it in the past. It creates drama. It creates nice warm feelings when the characters are eventually reunited. It's cool and all. It works as a storytelling tool. But they spend the entire season with all these people I like seeing together broken up, and it bummed me out. And by the time the finale rolled around, which, by the way, I think the finale is a fantastic hour of television. Like, it's really good. Love that finale. It got me right in the heartstrings, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I was so relieved to see them all be back together. I'm like, why did I not just have this? I don't know. Why was this the goal of the season, was to divide and conquer? I don't know. That was my biggest gripe on it. And it sounds like I didn't like the season, but I did. I mean, I really did. I don't know. Like, I like the camaraderie of the kids. They feel like they're really friends. They feel like they do have a history and do like to hang out and play Dungeons and Dragons in each other's basements. And that's one of the things I loved about season one, even more than the monster stuff and all that. Because without characters you care about and characters that interact with each other and relationships you care about, maybe even relationships more than characters sometimes, without those relationships, then all the monsters and special effects and horror and all that stuff doesn't really matter anyway.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. It gave me the pairing of Dustin and Steve, which is the best of the best. But I, like Tim said in our pre-production meetings, it also gave us the worst of the worst in terms of pairing up. And I'll let him talk about that. But I don't know. I enjoyed the season. I dug the new characters. Too bad Bob's gone, because he was a lot of fun. Would have liked to have seen him become like a seasoned monster hunter. Paul Reiser was fun, I guess. I don't mind seeing a little, Carter Burke in my 80s throwback entertainment. Overall, solid second season. I think, and we'll talk about kind of what we want going into season three, but I will say the show needs to switch things up a bit. In terms of, I think, where we're at focus-wise. I'm not sure how much more I need to see about the Upside Down at this juncture. I'd like to maybe branch out into something. There's nothing that says there can't be other unique universes out there or other kind of weird sci-fi avenues they could take these kids into. I say at this point, go for it and do something a little different maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But overall, not a failure by any means, but definitely has a little bit of that sophomore slump that a lot of shows get, I think. Loses a little bit of the... And it's not new anymore either, yeah, so there's that.
There's diminishing returns on the freshness of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So, but I will say, when it works, it works. Like, realistically, this probably could have been like 5 or 6 episodes and would have been just fine. But I do like the little side stories and little weird offshoots and avenues they take, especially the 11 episode, 11 focused episode where she goes to Chicago. Kind of cool. Kind of interesting. I like that they're expanding the universe. I think that's neat. But and I hope they are able to maybe drive further into some of those different avenues, like in terms of the full season narrative next time around. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cool. Alex?
I liked it quite a bit, but I also am very conflicted about it because I feel like there are a lot of things that I didn't like about the season as a whole, but I still feel like I enjoyed the experience. As Willie said, it's not as fresh anymore, but on top of that, like, it's interesting that they chose to call the show, the title is Stranger Things 2, and it very much has the problems of a sequel to me in terms of they're trying to make it bigger. They're trying to build the world a little bit more. They want more effects. They want more people, more characters in general. So seeing the show attempt to do that and not really hitting a home run on a lot of it for me, personally, was a little bit disappointing. I agree that 9 episodes is really weird. It's weird that they would be like, here's 9 of these. Although I think Vice Principals is a show that's done 2 9-episode seasons, so I don't know if this is like a new trend or something. But I personally did not like the 11 episode, which I know that's kind of the internet's consensus. But personally, like the introduction of 8 has me very. I'm not really sure that I want it to go down this world of like maybe there are 9 other superpowered beings out there potentially. I like what it means for like the world building of what 11 went through, but I don't like the idea that like there's more of them. I don't need this to be Heroes season 2 where everybody's got superpowers. So in that respect, I didn't like where that went. I also don't like a lot of the pattern that the show is taking on. The idea that 11 saves the day in the finale is kind of weird to me. Like, she's a little bit of a deus ex machina of, like, we will get everybody out of this situation alive, essentially. And I don't...
Except for Bob.
Yeah, except for Bob. Sorry, Bob. I don't really like that that's kind of how that's taken the shape. And they also do this like late game character change type thing with Steve in season 1. And for me, Bob in season 2. Bob's kind of the schlub for the first 5 episodes of the season. And then in the last 3, he kind of becomes this person that you really like and enjoy. It just feels like they kind of did that before. And they did it better with Steve, in my opinion, more nuanced with Steve. So it's kind of, I have this like well of feelings, and maybe it's just that I needed to finish it earlier and have a little more time to digest it. But it feels like to me they had a lot of really good ideas. I just don't know if they kind of hit all that many home runs with it. And we can talk about more about what that means. But I will say I did really like Paul Reiser. Casting him against type, like him being the doctor and knowing what he means in Aliens.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, okay, I know who this is going to be, and he's not, which feels great.
They almost start to hint towards that, and then they're like, they kind of pull back from it.
And I liked that. Whereas even Sean Astin, I think, does a really good job, but he's cast a little bit too type. He's the Sam Gamgee, the nerdy kind of, you know, the dude who isn't quite the star of the show, but is the hero kind of thing. So I like a lot of the stuff involved, but there are several things that I don't like, and we can drill into that a little bit more. But Tim.
Okay. I'll be quick. I think I might be the most positive out of everybody here. Which is strange because I may have been more mixed on season 1, but maybe it worked for me knowing what I was getting into, and maybe it's just because I like that they played more music in this one because there's so much music.
Good. They're good picks too.
They are pretty good picks. But that first episode is like wall to wall, like needle drop, and
it's a CW show.
It so is,
but it's the best CW show.
It's good. It's good music. I don't know. It's probably got too much going on. It's probably too long. I'm with Willie. I don't like them splintering off everybody. And some of that is because I don't like a couple of the characters. I don't like Jonathan and Nancy together. It's all of their scenes just made me zone out. And that was the stuff where it felt like... That was the stuff where it felt like they were trying to make up for a lot of the complaints they heard about Barb.
Yeah,
and I kind of had like forgotten about Barb.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which we'll get plenty of angry letters for that.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But I kind of forgotten. So like whenever they would like go talk to people about what happened to Barb, I was just like, first of all, I don't really like you two characters that much anyway. No. I'm not a Jonathan guy. Like you know what's funny is I take that back. I like Jonathan when he's with his brother. I don't like Jonathan when he's pining after.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, But when you get stuff like Steve and Dustin together, and I liked the Lucas Mac stuff quite a bit. I thought that was cute. Mm-hmm. I like Dustin and his side story with the little animal for half the season.
Yeah.
The little animal.
What's the animal's name?
The little critter. Dart. D'Artagnan.
Dart.
So, yeah, that took a turn.
I really liked the Hopper and Eleven stuff at the beginning.
Yeah.
I wanted to see more of that, actually. Mm-hmm. But I'm with Willie. I don't, it's weird because, the consensus is everybody seems to dislike that episode, right?
Yeah.
I kind of liked it too. And maybe it's just because it felt different to me. And I know it was kind of cliche and it felt like a backdoor pilot for like a new
little bit.
Spinoff, Stranger Things spinoff. But I liked how silly the characters were too. They were like the Dream Warriors, basically.
I think if it was one of those things where it was actually like, plotted out a little better and differently, like kind of spaced out instead of all its own self-contained episode, maybe people would have taken it a little bit better.
And it's a detour that comes late in the season too. Mm-hmm. And it's like as the show is ramping up towards its conclusion, here comes this detour. So I get that too. If it would maybe have been earlier in the season, it would have made more
sense. It's a little bit of a Walking Dead technique of, we don't want to show you the resolution to this dramatic cliffhanger, so let's play it off a little bit.
Yeah, but at least I'm not going to get into that. But yeah.
But at least it's all available for you to watch immediately.
Yeah, it's
not
a lie. They're not trying to lie to their audience about stuff. It's weird because I do tend to, you know, the other spin-off episode from a show that I think you and I both, we've talked about a little bit. We both love Lost overall. I would say.
That Twilight Zone.
There's a spinoff episode in Lost with Nikki and Paolo.
Yeah, that's like the self-contained. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And people hated it.
Yep,
hated it. And I was like, this is awesome.
I love that episode.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's just sometimes you just need, I don't know. For me, one, I agree with Tim on the Dream Warriors thing, and I got a soft spot for the old Dream Warriors. Plus, they're a little bit like 80s X-Men vibe to me.
Me too.
Very 80s X-Men. And I dig that. And it does feel like it's a different show entirely. And so I can understand the complaints there. But I had fun with it. And I think sometimes these spinoff episodes, when they do happen, and they are done for the right reasons, to expand the mythology of the show or to maybe focus in on a small plot thread of the show, I think it can, if it's done right, and I think this one was for me, then it's a nice breath of fresh air in a season, especially in a longer show.
Yeah, like for a Lost with 22 episodes per season,
yeah,
I think it makes more sense to like sequester it all for one episode. But for them to be like, you know,
and maybe the better option would have been to have taken the material of 11 in Chicago and spread it out over two or three episodes and just check in with her a few times over the course of those.
Yes.
Right. Maybe that was a better option. I would have been okay with that too. I guess just for me, I like the kind of characters they introduce in that episode. I think they're kind of fun and crazy. And I like the idea that there are more kids out there that went through this. Whether or not they explore that in future seasons, I would think they probably will. But I think it's cool to know that there's this bigger world out there that has only been touched upon up until that point.
And my dislike of it isn't so much it's not even necessarily what it means for 11, because I think it's very important for 11 and we can come back to that. But the idea that I just don't like 8, like I don't like 8 existing, but I think the episode itself is good.
Sure.
It's just the content within, like the story reason for it to me, and I guess not even the story reason, because the story reason for it is to make 11 have that conscience of, I should not be killing people. Like that is what it serves. And overall, that's a great place for her to end up.
Sure.
But I don't like that it had to be done through 8.
Okay. Fair enough.
Now, am I going to change my mind in season 4 when like 11 has to kill 8?
Yeah,
probably, because that would be great. But I don't know. Like, I don't know that could go any way.
I'm interested because I don't think it's the last we've seen of that group of people. And I'm interested because 11, maybe I just like X-Men, because 11's story could go very X-Men like, I'll say. Like,
yeah,
I kind of feel like they might be hinting at some Dark Phoenix stuff with 11, and maybe this is a way to kind of hint towards that in later seasons, and maybe that's a way to kind of have a different angle for the next couple seasons instead of just Monster comes after Will.
Well, and if the Duffer brothers are anything like have tastes similar to any of ours, really, I would say that X-Men / comic books, superhero comic books in general, are probably something that they enjoyed as kids or
right.
or even now. And I would think that that might be, like you said, Alex, I agree with you. I don't want this show to become people flying around all over the place and stuff. I hope they don't go that far with it, but I would be okay with them maybe having one of the subplots of a season be about trying to find these other kids and getting them into safe places and figuring out where they're at and stuff. Could be interesting.
There's a future for the show that exists where it's like the Upside Down is able to open itself and therefore requires more people to help close it and seal it off. And if that comes to like them ganging up as a team to do that, I think that could happen okay, but it just wasn't what I wanted out of the show coming out of season one. To open season two with 8. Because it does. Isn't that the first scene?
It opens with them getting away.
Which I mean is cool. But then you see the rest of this. Like I forgot about it until she comes back up, and I'm kind of like, that's kind of a weird prologue to a season that mostly has nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
So you know.
Yeah, that felt more like just to try and jar the audience into going, "What am I watching?"
Yeah, we want to hook you,
right?
But it feels like a cheap hook.
Yeah. I do want to get back positive. The most positive thing I had coming out of the show is I just liked, it was weird because like I coming out of the first season, I mean, I liked the show and I liked the characters, but then like when I started the first episode and we got back to Hawkins and we got back to the kids and stuff, I'm like, wow, I really like being back here.
Yes.
Like I like these characters so much. So,
yeah. All the stuff with them in the Ghostbusters outfits and stuff, like trick-or-treating is awesome.
Yeah. And even the trailers kind of gave me that feeling too, which was weird. Yeah. Because I didn't necessarily think I had that connection, but they're all just deep down, like good people. Honestly, all of them, even Steve grew through season one. Steve, that's another thing with Steve, like I know what you're saying with Steve and Bob, and yeah, I agree. Steve had a little bit further to go, I think, as a character though too.
Yeah,
and where Bob is kind of a Bob,
like,
was always kind of a decent dude. He's just kind of schlubby and
Steve
likes Kenny Rogers.
Steve's character arc across both seasons is the best of this show.
And I love that they let Steve this season hang out with the kids.
Yes.
More. Because I love the interaction between Steve and the kids.
I'm so happy they didn't spend the whole season or even a large chunk of the season dealing with Nancy and Jonathan and Steven's love triangle.
The love triangle. You're going to get that. It's
touched on for sure, and that's fine. And I think that's part of Steve's growth, is maybe eventually realizing that he doesn't necessarily... I don't know.
I think you're going to get it. But
yeah, no, I think that it'll be heavier maybe, but I'm glad that they let the characters kind of do their own things. I mean, Jonathan and Nancy, they were very much, you know, shacking up, but I don't know.
Can we talk about Billy for a minute?
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go. I talked about all the characters being good, and then there's one in particular that it's... let's talk about Billy. I just want to say real quick, Billy is one of the more bizarre characters I think I've seen on a TV show.
He's insane. Did you guys realize he's the Red Ranger from the new Power Rangers?
Yes, okay. Daker Montgomery is the Red Ranger.
His name is Daker?
Daker. He's like Australian?
Oh, okay.
Something like
that.
Have
you guys seen his audition video?
No, but
he,
I heard
like,
it was
pulls
pretty
his shirt
crazy.
Off in the middle of the audition and starts like like getting like... Yeah,
pumped
it's,
up.
It's incredible. So Billy... here's the thing about Billy. On one hand, I'm like, who is this character and what is he doing on the show? Because he spends most of the show like glaring at people... Or listening to Metallica and bench pressing stuff.
Oh, wait, I won't tell. Yeah.
While just simultaneously
like,
smoking.
Yeah, like it's really funny. And it feels like such like a, like in a show that's so firmly set in the 80s, they do avoid, for the most part, caricature stuff. And he feels like a total caricature. And I'm like, okay, there's got to be more to this character because they keep hinting at this relationship with Max. Are they brother and sister?
Yeah.
What's going on? Is he her dad somehow? Like, is he older than we think? I don't, like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, who knows? And then it just kind of winds up being like, well, his dad's kind of a dick.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, that's it, huh? So that's a little underwhelming. That being said, I think we can all say we grew up around somebody who wasn't that far off from this person.
No, and yeah, that's the thing. That's what I said about Joyce in the first season. I didn't like Joyce, but Joyce is someone who I know is a real person.
Yes.
Like, right. There is somebody who would react exactly like Joyce in the situation that she's in.
I knew I had a friend's mom or two that remind me very much of Joyce.
Yeah, and I think Billy is a similar case. He's a bit of a character.
I went to school with Billy. I'm just throwing it out there.
Here's my
He's the guy
feelings.
Who goes to a house party just because he doesn't want to drink, doesn't want to like hook up with girls. Doesn't want to do drugs. Doesn't want to dance or have fun. He literally shows up to the house party and he's like, I got to fight somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Billy.
These pussies.
Yeah.
Billy, for me, every time he's on screen, I feel like I need to take a shower. So hats off to Dacre Montgomery and the costuming team and that haircut that he's got going
on. So good.
Because that, all of that, It is detestable to my very core, and I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
He plays basketball in jean shorts,
yes,
which is insane.
Yes,
this is the worst possible clothing to play basketball in.
And I really did not like him at all. I appreciated his inclusion in the show for the joke of him and Mrs. Myers.
It's so good.
It is so spot on, perfect, and amazing. The chemistry between those two people
is good.
Just off the wall.
Like, that actress makes me believe that she really wants to have sex with him. Yeah. Badly.
Yeah, both of the performances in there, they're both unlike any other time you have seen them in the show, and it's amazing. They both sell it so well. And it's stupid to have that be my justification. Like, he also does good things for Max in that final episode of like allowing Max to draw a line and basically just be like, you don't need to be this. I can take care of myself.
Right.
Like, I think he serves a cool purpose in that, but that with Mrs. Myers and the fact that I just want to vomit every time I see him, it's just, it added up to something magical, and I don't know why, but it did.
Yeah, I loved him. And I think it's because, I don't know, I liked some of the stuff they embraced the season, like the music and kind of like the aliens and Ghostbusters references throughout. Like, they just said, okay, yeah, this is what we are. And then to have someone like Villian, who's a total cartoon, he's straight up, he's like the Stephen King bully.
No, 100%.
Like, he's a Stephen,
he's just, instead of the greaser, they went with like kind of like an 80s metalhead.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's Stephen King bully, who for most of the season has no redeeming qualities, but he's such like a psycho and like such a force of nature. Yeah.
You kind of love him, right?
I loved him because I was like, I can't take my eyes off this person because I don't know what he's going to do. I never know what he's going to do. I think the dad stuff comes too late, honestly.
Yeah, it does. No, yes. It does.
It comes too late. I think if they had to do over, they should put that earlier on.
There's
maybe.
The thing is, there's no even hints at it.
Yeah.
At least maybe hint at the fact that there's... Well, I mean, like, you know that he's a screwed up kid, and you know maybe they're like, they don't have a traditional nuclear family or whatever. That's not enough reason for him to be the way he is.
And it's not it being two new characters for us. We don't care about that mystery necessarily.
Not as much.
Like,
no.
There's not. We don't have as much buy into that relationship. So holding that till episode 8 or 9, whichever. I think it was 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it pre-Steve fight?
No.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
it was
pre-Steve.
Yes.
Fight.
Okay.
Because that.
That's the same episode.
The dad. Oh, okay. Okay. So that is the final episode, I think.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No,
this is all unimportant. But it, like, I don't even.
I will say this though. I was completely invested in the Steve Billy fight.
Oh, yes.
I was straight up like, come on, Steve.
Come on, Steve. Pull it together. You know what?
But I knew he had no shot.
It worked out exactly the way it needed to work out.
Yep.
Can I just, like, I know this is probably not great for listeners.
Can I just play
a clip of Billy?
I want to say real quick, I was pissed when Max pulled the keys out and it looked like they were going to leave Steve there.
Yeah, I'm like.
I was like, guys, no, you need, Steve is more important than any of
them. And you know, Steve rallies too.
Yes.
He's like, I'm good. Like, I got this. Mm-hmm. I'll take you to the tunnels. Don't worry. I'm just going to play a clip of Billy. I just need to watch Billy right now.
Okay, this is Billy. Yeah, I don't know if people can hear. Oh, this is him lifting weights. And now they're showing Max. Oh, yeah, he's smoking a cigarette lifting weights.
And lifting weights. Yeah. And listening to Scorpions.
He's like a hot rod character.
I was listening to a podcast earlier. They referred to him as Rob Lowe from the St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah. That's a fair
comparison. Not that far off, yeah. Actually. Rob Lowe plays a weird psychopath in that movie, too.
Rob Lowe is more yuppie-ish, though, isn't he?
Yeah. No.
No, is he not? Okay.
No, he hangs out in jazz clubs and plays saxophone.
but Billy's never going to play a saxophone.
Billy would
break a saxophone.
He would. And the thing is, Billy wouldn't even play like guitar in a band because he doesn't have time for that.
Yeah.
He'd just go to the mosh pit and beat up the smaller kids in the mosh pit. Right. That's Billy.
Yeah.
So Billy is one new character. We've discussed him quite a bit. I do want to touch on Max, the other new character.
I like Max a lot.
Max is quite good.
Yep.
Max is quite good. And, yeah. But I have to say, I didn't really enjoy the kids treating her so terribly and then not really having a moment of closure with them coming around on her. Like, Mike is such a dick to her.
Yeah.
But we never really get that moment of, I shouldn't have been this much of a dick to you.
Yeah.
Like it just, we get that presumed 1 month later where everything is hunky dory with everybody. Like I get that that's incredibly likely how a group of four boys would have reacted to an outsider girl in their group.
But as a viewer, you kind of wanted to see.
For my love of the characters, for my love of that group of kids, I wanted them to have this comeuppance of, we've treated you terribly when clearly you fit in very well.
Yeah.
Like I wish there was more to that.
I get that.
That's the only thing that I like. Max as a character is awesome. I wish they would have handled that better though.
I get that. Yeah. I'm curious to see where they go with her. I think she makes a nice addition to the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Max is cool.
Yeah.
I don't have time to say about her. I wish they would have given her a little bit more stuff to do.
Yeah, but maybe.
But that's kind of an issue I have with, though. I wish they would have given a lot of people a little bit more stuff to do.
Dig Dug is awesome, by the way. So good choice. I love that she puts in her name as Mad Max, too. That's a nice little
cool
detail.
So that's the second new character. We talked about Bob. By the way, I watched the Bob video and like, it's like the feeding at the trough of his
guts. It's horrible.
Guts.
Yeah.
Isn't it really mean?
It's so mean. Like they cut away from it and they cut back.
I know. I thought it was over. I'm like, okay, they're just going to focus on reaction shots.
Yeah.
And then they cut back and he's like spewing blood from his mouth.
You know what? They were like, we don't need another Barb situation here. We need you to know he's fucking gone.
Definitively dead.
Last character, Paul Reiser.
I think is his name.
Sam. Yeah. I will say this. I liked him. It's Paul Reiser. It's like a mixture of Paul Reiser from Mad About You and Aliens. Yeah. Like it's a nice combination because I tend to not like him in like stuff like Mad About You and then do like him as like a like a sleazeball in Aliens.
Yeah.
But this is a nice combination.
I think it'd be fun to have him stick around and maybe have him work with Hopper in some way, shape, or form. Because they kind of have a relationship by the end of it.
I like that by the end of the season, you realize that he really is there to clean up after Matthew Modine. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not just the guy that's like, I need to further this.
He's not crazy scientist number two.
Yeah, he's managing the situation with the cards close to his chest, essentially. Oh. And that was really cool to me.
I dig that.
And I liked that stuff, too, because one of the issues I guess I had with the first season is it didn't feel like there was a reason for it to take place in the 80s. And with the Paul Reiser character, because they touch on it very little, but it worked for me. Is they're like, oh, we've got it's something to do with the Russians. Like, and I'm like, okay, at least now, like, they give me something to cling to where I can be like, okay, now I get why this is in the 80s, other than like, because like you said, it's hard to be nostalgic for the 80s but like the Duffer brothers are like, I think they're like my age. I think they're like mid-30s, so maybe a little bit older, but like I was born in 84 around this time. I barely remember the
80s. Those first 5-6 years of your life are not,
it's mostly like snippets of things, and everything is kind of dim.
You like the 90s define you more than the 80s did, almost.
But it's weird, but I like the same stuff, but it's this weird thing now where, and I noticed it during Kong too, where you have these young filmmakers and like they know decades through movies they love from those decades.
That's
fascinating.
That's what I was going to say. Alex posed that question about like, is it possible to be nostalgic about a time period you did not live during or you don't remember? And actually, I would say that it's that's where most nostalgia falls, is for, it's because, you know, like Tim, like you said, you remember maybe a tiny bit of the 80s, but, and I remember even less. I was born in 86. So, but the thing is, all those movies we watched, grew up watching, were 80s movies mostly.
Right.
And I think because growing up to the 90s, you only heard the best 80s music.
Yeah.
Only saw the best 80s movies. You're getting these rose-colored glasses and throwing them on and going, man, the 80s were pretty great. I like everything about that decade. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same idea as like when people throw, it's the same idea as people throwing these fancy like a murder mystery party and everybody has to dress up in like 1920s clothes.
Yeah.
There's a certain romanticism thrown around with older time periods, and now the 80s are quite a ways back. So yeah. That's, you know, like right now there's kind of a weird wave of like 90s nostalgia starting to pop up, and I have no nostalgia for the 90s. Like, I grew up in it. I lived it. Yeah. I don't have any.
And
like,
I do.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. See, okay.
I'm excited for this.
But. See, I don't. I'm just like, whatever. Like, the 90s were fun.
When we get to the 2000s, then I'll be like, I don't know.
I just want Fresh Prince on Netflix. Anyway.
Is it not?
No.
Or they put all the TGIF shows up on Hulu. Yeah.
I know Home Improvement's on there, and I've been meaning to watch all of it.
Improvement. Full House is on there. Well, maybe not Full House, because no, I think Full Netflix, House. Hanging with Mr. Cooper is on there.
Nice.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, so no, it is interesting to me, but because I find Supernatural, Stranger Things is such a, I don't want to say like it's not deep, but it's a big blockbuster TV show to me. That's kind of how I view it, is like it's a big popcorn TV show.
It's event, like an event.
It's event television. Yeah. So I like, when it, if it doesn't veer off to anything deeper, and it's just kind of like, it is kind of verges on like, hey, remember the 80s type stuff? It doesn't really bother me. Cause like,
well, and something that I think I can touch on a little bit. I read up last night that they had several epilogues that they shot that they did not include. They essentially just completely removed it, that it was going to be after the shot of the school and the upside down. They didn't include them because they felt like their hands were tied with the stuff they did include in season one. They felt like they needed to pay off on Hopper putting the Eggos in the box. They felt like they needed to pay off on the slug that came out of Will.
And that felt a little bit like, shit, we need to figure out.
There's a lot of that. Like, they tied their own hands with these things. So I'm kind of very happy that they don't necessarily show their hand, although we can talk about where we think season three is going to go. They don't show their hand with where it's going to go, because I feel like there were a lot of things that they felt forced into doing. The whole Barb thing with Nancy and Jonathan and Steve at one point, too. Like, all of these felt like things that they felt forced into doing. So I hope, if anything, they take the criticism of some of the Barb stuff that happened here. Because I think even a lot of Barb people were like, this is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I hope they take that criticism, and I hope they've clearly realized that they didn't want to tie their own hands. I hope they take that to figure out where they really want to go with it and commit to it a little bit more and make it a little more cohesive than the split up stuff. Because honestly, like, I almost feel like I would have been happier if 11 wasn't in the season at all. Like, I'd be cool with her coming back, but maybe she comes back in season three. Like,
yeah.
Living, like, letting Will take the focus of the season now that he's back in the real world, to me, I think would have been interesting. And even if, like, 11 only showed up in the final episode, that wouldn't fix my Deus Ex Machina issue, but it would still, like, I feel like it would have given them time to breathe and figure out how to make the rest of the story align a little bit better. So it's like, I'm glad they didn't tie their hands this time around, and it makes me excited for season three even more so than I think I was for season two.
Since we're talking about season three real quick, I almost want this show, now that we've kind of, I feel like we've told what we need to tell about the upside down, for me personally as a viewer. Yeah. I don't need to know any. I mean, I think Tim and I, we talked about this. We could get, I guess, more into more detail of like what exactly is the upside down.
I would kind of like a little bit more of an explanation.
Sure.
Not like in depth. I don't need to know too much, but you know, I need midichlorians, to know.
But you,
I at least need to know. I would like to know what it is.
Sure. I get that. And But I think even if they did, even if they like were done with the Upside Down, I'd be like, okay, that's fine, whatever. Like, to me, I'd almost rather the show took on more of an anthology type approach. And by anthology, I mean we keep the kids, we keep the main setting of what's the town called?
Hawkins.
You know, Hopper's still running around, all this stuff. But why not have something else weird and crazy happen in this town? Why not have, I don't know, why not do a Fright Night type situation where a vampire moves into Hawkins and starts converting people into vampires? Wait, screw it. Like, you're already, like, people are hooked on this show because of the characters at this point, right? Like, that's why we're in it. So have the characters experience. I mean, it's called Stranger Things. It doesn't have to mean it's just about the Upside Down. Why not have other crazy stuff happen? I don't see why not. I mean, if you could find a cool hook that feels like an 80s movie or a throwback to that decade of filmmaking, sci-fi and horror, that works well using the setting of Hawkins and the kids, then go with that, I think, instead of continuing on the Upside Down path.
I think this season would have been your best bet for something like that. I don't think they would do it now.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of a part of me feels like it would be a good point for them to do it, because I feel like 11 is in a good spot to kind of take a back seat.
And you can have 11 still be a presence on the show and still be one of the kids on the show and not necessarily address the Upside Down, because I don't think the two are... Her powers don't stem from the Upside Down.
Yeah.
Her powers opened up the doorway to the Upside Down.
Yeah.
Just like they closed it. So, I don't know. I mean, like, my guess is we're not going to get anything like what I just suggested. No. And that's fine. My other thing I was thinking is if we could do something along the lines of maybe like a road trip scenario where we get Hopper and the kids have to, like, travel somewhere across the country and they make pit stops here and there. And I don't know what they're doing, but that might be kind of fun. Take the kids out of Hawkins and have them see more of the outside world a little bit. That could be kind of interesting, too.
So Dusty and Steve on the road.
Yeah, that would be
cool. I'd watch that show.
Yeah, so anybody got any favorite moments from season two?
Bob's death's pretty great.
I think we've kind of covered that, but yeah, let's pick some out off the top of our head.
Anytime Billy's on screen, for sure, there's no question. We talked about
basketball,
that.
The basketball scene.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Steve underground in like the tunnels with his like baseball bat, his Walking Dead baseball bat.
Yep. Yes.
That's pretty great. Cause he becomes the hero, you know, and that hair just looks so good. The revelation that Mad Max is a girl is really funny to me. Like I really, cause that's exactly how I would react to that. Like, yeah. As a girl. What? This can't be right. Like, they don't believe it.
Yeah.
But my favorite is everything that happens at the school dance. Everything.
Yep. The dance is pretty wonderful.
It was so, especially the Dustin stuff. Because I love Dustin. Like, he's the most lovable, like, character on
What did you think of him hitting that thing with a hockey stick?
What?
Hitting dart with a hockey stick.
Hitting dart with a hockey stick. He's a little mean.
Dar was eating cats.
His cat. Yeah, I ate his cat.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I'd kick the shit out of the thing.
Hey, that justice for Mew Mew. Really? Yes. Like, come on.
I love Dustin's mom, too.
Oh, so good.
The parents in the show are spot on.
The parents in the show are really good.
Gojo's comment about the Papa Wheeler.
Yeah.
He's the most ineffectual, unattentive human.
So good.
Of all time, and it's amazing.
It's perfect.
I have seen more complaints than I would like to see about how the parents would ever watch these kids. And I'm like, yeah, well,
that was the 80s.
Like,
how boring you want the show to be.
But yeah, that stuff with Dustin at the dance was like,
damn, millennials are ruining my 80s nostalgia.
Was like so heartwarming to me. Like, was it a little cheesy? Maybe, but it felt genuine to me. Like, it
was earned because it's the lead up to Karen.
Mm?
Karen?
Nancy.
Nancy. God, why do I keep calling her Karen? Will and Mike Karen. Boy. We are not good at names.
That's all right. They're pretty.
But the lead up asking her to dance, asking or like going up to him and dancing is like good, because like it's earned because he gets shut down like right before. It's kind of mean.
It's really like he's like crying.
Yeah.
Like,
it's it's really sad.
But the sad thing is that happens to kids. Yeah. Like, that's the, you know, like the Hollywood version of it would have been like him going up and like charming one of these girls. Like, all the other girls walk away, but there's the one who's like, oh, Dustin, you're kind of cute. Mm-hmm. But, like, this was, I don't know, it was handled kind of, it felt, I don't know, like, authentic to me. And well, that's one of the nice things about the show is a lot of it, the characters at least feel authentic, so.
I was glad they didn't go mean in the other direction, where it's like, you know, the girl who's a late bloomer and like maybe has headgear on or something like that, and he like turns her down after getting.
They could have gone
down.
That route. Too.
They could have gone that, and they didn't, and I'm glad they didn't. And who doesn't want to dance with Nancy?
Right.
Yeah, she's a cute girl. I mean,
even if she,
Jonathan does
well.
They tango.
I do want to say this. One of my favorite moments. Oh yeah, that's right. One of my favorite moments in the show, and I couldn't believe it because I'm not a big Jonathan and Nancy fan. Like when they're together, but it's when they're And, like, it worked on me. Like, I felt, like, a rush of, like, emotion during it. It's when they're trying to, like, heat the demon out of Will. Yeah. And, like, at one point, they, like, hug each other. I'm like, oh, man, that worked.
But once again, though, that's more about Will and Jonathan.
Will and Jonathan. Yeah, but I thought the interaction between the two.
Sure. No, it works. It does.
Like, I thought it was really sweet.
I didn't have so many issues with it. And maybe it was because, like, I feel like Steve is super cool and I'm probably more Jonathan. That, like, for Jonathan to get Nancy, I'm kind of like, okay. And also the idea that, like Jonathan and Nancy are really close in the kind of way that when you mature as a person, you realize that is more worth it than the flaring attraction of, like, oh, Steve.
Steve and Nancy, they're wrong for each other.
I think so. But you can understand why they're like, we are the prettiest people in the school.
Sure.
We should be together. So it makes sense to me that Jonathan and Nancy show up, but they did so damn well making Steve sympathetic.
He's so cool
that they shot themselves in the foot with that a little bit, I think. But it's kind of awesome that they did.
Do you know who Steve reminds me of in this season?
Who?
Particularly? Do you remember the Monster Squad? We watched it for the podcast. Rudy. The cool older kid that smokes cigarettes, but like hangs out with the little kids and like kicks the shit out of vampires for him.
Yep.
That was Steve this season.
Yeah, I can. Yes. I totally.
That's why I liked him so much, because I was like, this is Rudy from Monster Squad. That's awesome.
That's a great comparison.
Give me that season of Stranger Things.
Do like him.
Have the Universal Monsters show up.
Gotta do something with them.
My favorite moment.
Right? Might as well.
My favorite moment is, it's gotta be, like, I laughed so hard at Billy and Mrs. Wheeler. Like, it's just too good.
If
I didn't see it coming at all, and I didn't know I wanted it, but when it was there, I was like, this is worth every minute of vomit in my throat that Billy was in the beginning part of the season.
They have to continue that in season 3.
They really,
like, the two of them had to cross paths at least a couple times, right? Like, I'd be okay with it happening at this juncture. Like, that'd be really funny to me.
This might not be the climate for that, but
Well, Billy, never mind.
Billy might have been held back 5 years.
I was going to say, Billy might be 27 years old.
I think Billy's at least 19, so he's fine.
There's a moment early on too, between, because Hopper doesn't have any like big moments this season, but he's wonderful to me throughout. But there's a part where he's kind of exasperated with Eleven early on, where I really liked the stuff with those two.
It was really good.
Well, you reminded me of Hopper and Eleven in the truck.
Yes,
and that is probably my favorite moment for both of those characters.
Yep.
Is just them getting back on the same page with each other, and it was a very beautiful.
And I
like
the moment between him and Joyce.
Yep.
At the end, in the last episode. And I honestly, I did not think Winona Ryder was very good in the first season.
Yeah.
I thought she was much better in this one.
Yeah, I think so too.
I liked Joyce.
I think they give her a lot more to do than just be the hysterical.
Yes, that's a good point.
And it works very well for her. So it retroactively almost makes me appreciate her in the first season a little bit more.
She's a little less manic this time around.
Because she now knows that she's not crazy.
Right.
Not that she thought she was in the first season, but she is justified to other people around her, so it kind of logically makes sense that in this season she's a little more together.
She's like, yeah, there's monsters and stuff.
Yeah. Final thoughts on season 2, anybody?
I enjoyed it.
I was hoping that this conversation would really clear me up, and it hasn't at all, because I can be pulled in any which direction. I love a lot of things, and there are a lot of things that I don't like. But
there's nothing you outright hate, though.
Right? No, I don't think there's anything that I hate. But If there was anything that I hate, it might be 8. Mm. Maybe.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it is absolutely worth watching. And it's good. It's interesting.
Well, yeah. It's a fine season of television, for sure.
Oh, totally worth your time, especially if you're a horror fan.
We are going to do season 3 wishes, right?
Yes, I'm going to give you a quiz to wrap up, to put a bow on season 2. It's a quick 5-question quiz. Right. You're both going to have shots at answering these.
All right.
One of my favorite things is all the needle drops, the source music, mm-hmm. If you will. A lot of 80s music in this season. Probably some other stuff, too. But I like the music in this season.
Yeah, me too.
It was nonstop. It may have rubbed some people the wrong way, but I thought it was really good.
Oh, well.
So I put together a quiz. 5 questions. I'm just going to, you can raise your hand or say, I got it. I'll keep an eye on it. Yeah. First question, name the 2 artists who performed the duet Islands in the Stream that plays when Joyce and Bob slow dance in episode 2, the 2 artists.
It's Kenny Rogers.
Okay.
And Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Good.
Okay. And I will give hints if you guys, my Kenny Rogers hit was going to be, I'm Kenny Rogers and Welcome to Jackass. And my Dolly Parton was going to be Dolly World. So, name the movie that the song Push It to the Limit was originally featured in that plays during the basketball scene. Willie.
Scarface.
Yep. And that's actually the title of the song too. I think it's Scarface and then
Push it to the limit.
Really? I listen to that song every time I work out.
I've never seen Scarface.
Okay.
You should.
So, yeah.
That's during a montage of like Tony Montana.
Like doing blow and like.
I mean, the song is perfectly, like it makes sense.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one here. Oh, the Scarface one is really good. This is my favorite one of the season, I think. The next 2 are really good. This is the name of the song that plays as 11 travels to meet the other lab outcasts. The name of the song that plays as 11 begins her travels to meet the other outcasts.
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. It is by Bon Jovi.
Oh, it's Runaway.
Yeah. She's a little runaway.
That's really good.
I laughed really hard.
Big fan of that song too.
Yeah. This song blares out into the crisp Hawkins air when Billy makes his grand entrance.
Is it when he rolls up in the car?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it Metallica?
Nope.
No, it's not Metallica. God, I can't remember what it is.
I don't know.
Because anytime he's on screen, it's some sort of like.
It's a song. The title features a weather event in it.
Oh, it's Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yeah.
I want it to be It's Raining Men now.
Well, I'm sure you'll get some fan edits at some point. All right, last question. And this blew my mind because I did not know it. And I'm kind of bummed that I didn't know this. But the song You Ought to Be With Me that plays during the Sinclair family breakfast in episode 5 is performed by this Rocky actor.
Is it Carl Weathers?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Beautiful.
That's right.
It's Carl Weathers.
Willie will beat me 10 times out of 10 when it comes to.
Sorry, dude.
Willie had more time in the 80s.
For sure.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Age-wise. So, but that Carl Weathers one. Yeah. I had no clue. All right. That was the quiz. Hopefully you played
beautiful.
Along. What do you guys want to see from season 3? And then we'll wrap this bad
boy. I think
boy
I kind of said what I wanted to see already. So I'm good. I mean, that's. I want to do something different.
Want to do something
same
different.
Characters, different. Story.
I agree with that. But with like trying to make some kind of educated guess with what we're presented, we didn't really talk about it much. But in the 11 episode, she and 8 go to kill a man who was working at the lab. Mm. The man starred in Constantine, just so you all know.
But, was it Pruitt Taylor Vince?
Yeah, I think so. He plays a priest. Anyway, He says to
you want
them,
to see a Constantine crossover with
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep, with Keanu. What if Keanu's on season 3 of Stranger Things?
That would be a Dracula.
I can't handle that.
Reunion.
What if he plays
Constantine and Dracula?
What if he plays like a Chris Sarandon type
for Bright Night?
Like hot fella that moves in and tries to seduce all the moms.
Tries to seduce Joyce.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, Alex, go ahead.
No, I'm lost in thought now. But no, that guy from Constantine suggests that Brenner's still alive. Matthew Modine's character is still alive. I want a Resident Evil William Birkin-esque Brenner.
Where he's like mutating and stuff?
Yes, to come out of the upside down. That's right. And like, I just imagine Matthew Modine with his perfect gray hair, but this like half disfigured green face. Like,
see, that's cool. Like maybe you could have some sort of thing like where you can almost do like a little mini zombie movie in the show, but you have it related to the upside down. Like this upside down is like taking over the people of Hawkins.
I think the upside down is mysterious enough that they could use it for that kind of thing for sure.
Does anybody have any guesses on what like the upside down is?
It's just an alternate universe. It's an alternate universe, parallel dimension to ours,
that has been kind of like dominated or taken over by this shadow monster. Yes, right. It's like
the shadow creature and its offspring have taken over.
Yeah, I kind of like to think like. Do you think there are inhabitants of it? I don't know. It's,
I honestly, that's something to explore too.
That's kind of, I'm kind of interested in that, like. I kind of want to see them, I think maybe in the last season, they've said 5 seasons. Well, this thing seems to be a cash cow, so we'll see. But I kind of hope they go balls to the wall with the shadow monster stuff. Like, I hope there is a big blowout at the end of, like, just throw all your money on the screen in, like, the last season.
Like a full monster invasion.
Like a full monster invasion. I'm talking, like, kaiju level.
Like the Mist.
Yeah, well, shadow monsters and stuff.
And that's a little bit of kind of, like, where I think it could head in terms of, yeah, they have this gate to the upside down, but what happens when like the upside down is like beginning to merge with Earth or something like that?
That's what I'm curious. Maybe there could be some, and there could be some like mirror universe type stuff too.
And there's other kids with powers out there that might be able to open another gate to it. Yeah. Right?
And I think we're probably gonna get, like I said earlier, I think we're probably gonna get some 11 Goes Bad stuff.
Yeah.
Like kind of Dark
Phoenix-y
stuff.
I'm okay with them
stuff.
Teasing that as long as Mike is the one that, you know, brings her back.
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Right, so
sun's getting real low.
that gag, man.
The 11 versus 8 is intriguing to me. As I suggested earlier,
it could be very cool.
I don't know when that would happen, if it would be like a season 3 or season 5 kind of deal. But I think there's,
or maybe there's a bigger, better kid out there that they need to team up. Maybe Billy's one of the kids and we just don't know it. That's why he's so tortured.
The nice thing is they've got to make these seasons quick because those kids around that age grow really fast.
Yeah. So they got to get going here.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a season where they're all like weirdly lanky and
yeah, and like two of them are getting like jacked. Like going back to Lost, I remember like
Will's voice,
Walt
like
on
this.
Lost.
Oh, that's right, Walt.
Walt on Lost showed up in like season 3, and he had like a six pack abs and stuff. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
They should go like, back and like the Star Wars, like Lucas, Walt. Like doing pull-ups in the background of some scenes.
Just doing crunches and stuff. Yeah. Hanging out next to Billy.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm curious to see if they did a better job of hiding threads or if they just are very clearly saying we don't want to give any clues because we want to make our own way, figure out exactly what we want to do over this time. Because it sounds like, while maybe they have an ultimate endpoint, I don't think they have all the dots on the path yet.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see. I think it can be satisfying when they're like, let's introduce these ideas and pay them off later. But unless you are super skillful at doing that, you might just be writing yourself into a corner that don't want to be in. So,
and I think ultimately, and this goes for all Netflix, Hulu, any of the streaming services that kind of dump the whole seasons out at once. Hulu does that too, right?
Yes.
Some of the shows
Hulu
do.
Hulu does both ways, because they kind of, sometimes they're like, we're going to drop 3 at a time. Other times they do it once a week.
I think like
week.
With Runaways, they're dropping like the first 3.
Yeah.
And then they're going to do another 3 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but here's the thing. Like, you don't have to be committed to a specific season episode at length. Like in terms of like 8, 9 episodes, whatever.
Yeah.
So just like write the story, create the story, and then put out however many episodes it takes to tell that story. Like you don't have to put out 9 episodes if you don't have. To me, there were like I said, like probably 6 episodes worth of story to tell here. Didn't kill the season for me, but I am starting to grow a little tired of the Netflix mid-season, God, what are we doing with the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And some of that might be like the Marvel stuff. They were contractually obligated.
Contractual obligation, and I get that.
And hopefully with some of these smaller creators, they have more play with that.
And I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I doubt the Duffer Brothers were like, we need to have...
We're going to do 50 episodes.
We have to do 50 episodes.
Yeah.
Like they didn't have the pull to do that. Yeah. So, If it's four episodes, I don't care. If that's what it takes to tell the story, put the four episodes out.
Yeah, I
look
agree.
At like what Gilmore Girls did.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you know, whether you liked it or not, I think that was a very smart way because they knew the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah,
they said we can totally do this in four longer episodes. Done. So don't be. I guess at, like I don't know. As a showrunner, don't be afraid to like.
And I don't necessarily feel like they were like, we need to pad this out. I think it was probably the growing pains of like. How do we start to pay off these threads and where do we want them to end up?
Yeah, I don't disagree.
That was where that slump was.
I don't
was.
Disagree. But that being said, they don't have as much to pay off this time around. Yes. So let's see if it needs to be 8 or 9, if that's fine. If it needs to be 12, that's fine. But it's like with comic books, you know, like just like comic books they write for the trade market. So they have to take sometimes these two or three issue stories and expand them into six issues.
Yeah.
And oftentimes you wind up going, what are we doing? Just right. reading those, you know? So I hope that they don't, you know, fall into that trap too often, but we'll see, I guess.
I did really briefly just want to say, it is good to see the return of my boy, Andrew Stanton, to the director's chair of
That's
a live
right.
action thing.
Ah.
The director of John Carter, one of my favorite, movies in general, but he directs two episodes in the middle. There's the one that starts after Hopper got trapped in the tunnel after passing out, and okay. then Will being in the lab. They realize that like that's the one right before the 11 episode.
Mm.
Those are two of my favorite episodes of the
cool,
season.
Good.
And,
cool.
and I think he smashed it out
that's
of the
cool.
park. And I hope to God this means he's getting out of director jail after
get some mark.
Let him do some TV and build his cred again and he'll be good.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Let him do a Netflix movie.
Hell yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if you haven't seen Gerald's Game yet.
Gerald's Game, I'm halfway through 1922.
How is it?
It's good. It's a little slower. It feels more like a Stephen King Netflix movie. Gerald's Game felt to me like something where like that should be in a theater.
No, 110%.
Yeah, this one feels like... And it's not a slight at it, but it feels like kind of a made-for-TV
no,
type.
No, I got you. No, that's fine.
But
yeah.
It's good. It's,
cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Netflix has been doing some very interesting stuff in the horror department. So, yeah, I'm digging it for sure.
They dig a grave in 1920.
They sure do.
Stupid.
I don't know if you guys will have any point in time to touch on it, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on the Get Out controversy happening right now. The fact that it has been submitted as a comedy.
I think
awards.
At some juncture, probably our class of 2017 episode, we will be discussing
okay, cool.
Get Out and probably be talking about that. You and I have
Because we have
conversed about it. I think we both agree that it's kind of frustrating.
It's frustrating. It's
I'm happy it's being nominated for
but I don't know what do you nominate it for?
Yeah.
We'll get into that because there's the whole social thriller aspect.
Well, Jordan Peele's response to all of this today, he just came out and tweeted Get Out as a documentary. It's like, all right.
I love Jordan Peele.
Yeah,
I'm at the point with the movie where like call it whatever you want. Yeah. At this point, I'm just throwing up my hands with it.
Give it an award because it should have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I think.
I'm fine with it being nominated as a comedy just so it's nominated.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the real world feels like a comedy, doesn't it? Like a black comedy, but a comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got to start coming up with 2017. I think Get Out is going to be on there. I think we're going to talk about It. So we can talk about
it's kind of hard not to talk about it.
And that way we can talk about all the Stephen King stuff. And then
we determine a third?
I kind of want to do Raw. Have you seen Raw?
No.
Ah, that's the one that people were vomiting in the theater at the festivals for.
Yeah, it's a cannibal movie.
Okay.
Female cannibal. I think you will like it.
Okay.
But we'll talk later.
Okay.
I'm throwing Raw out there. You come back at me with something. Right,
cool.
Do you have a third idea in your head?
No, honestly, my brain is fried, so not off the top of my head. But
next week, though, we're not talking about that. We still got a couple weeks left in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, we're going to be talking about
Toby Hooper. Yeah. Very special Toby Hooper episode.
We're
going to
be watching, Eaten Alive. Eating Alive.
I'm sorry. It's the movies we watch sometimes.
Eating Alive, Funhouse. It's going to be a little different than Stranger Things. Eating Alive, Funhouse, and The Mangler. I've never seen Funhouse and The Mangler. The Mangler is about a killer appliance.
Well, The Mangler is about, it is about a murderous, demonically possessed, industrial-grade washing machine.
Yes.
Based on a story by Stephen King.
And now, why did we pick these? Because we did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and we figured Poltergeist is more of a Spielberg movie. Anyway.
Yeah. So these three are, you know, they in a weird way they kind of represent, you know, early Hooper,
middle Hooper,
and then a little later on.
Wait, are we doing Funhouse? No, we're doing Life Force.
Life Force.
I'm sorry.
Funhouse. That's okay. You're good.
Yeah. So watch those: Eaten Alive, Life Force.
You've seen Funhouse. Maybe.
Yeah. I've not seen Life Force or The Mangler.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm in for a treat.
You are in for two treats. Let me tell you, sir. Wait until you watch Life Force. It's the most... It's like, hey, Canon Films like getting like a Michael Bay budget. Just imagine that. And that's exactly what you're going to see.
Very good. Willie, tell the good people where they can reach us.
Yeah. Facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook. We're on Twitter at HMYearbook. Or you can email us. HorrorMovieYearbook@gmail.com. Our website's HorrorMovieYearbook.com. Pretty simple, straightforward. Rate and review us on iTunes. Thank you to Mr. John Morrell for the music. Appreciate that.
Greg Long for the graphics.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you to Alex Morrell for joining us for this very special Stranger Things.
Alex, tell the good people where they can listen to you.
Well, thank you for having me. You can listen to me every other week on the Midwest Game Nerds podcast. You can also check out Westworld FM or Gone to Texas if you are into Westworld or Preacher. And there's a big back catalog of the three of us.
Yep.
Called the Midwest Film Nerds. Go check that out. And you never know, one will surprise you with another one.
There's a lot of fun stuff in those episodes.
Yeah, I'm gonna start going back and listening.
Yeah. I'd say in like the 200 episodes we put out, there's at least like 8 or 9 really good ones.
Right? Yeah. I don't know what they are, but
we did some horror stuff in there too.
There is potentially 5% goodness in there.
I would say, no, for real though. There's honest to God, I'd say the majority of those episodes are a lot of fun. And
we did this wonderful thing on there too, horror related, where we would get Alex to watch like the strangest horror movies, like stuff that horror fans, even they are kind of split on, and like we would watch.
Yeah, you guys are picking all the stuff like, you can chew on for a horror movie.
Well, I was seconds away from subjecting Alex and Nick to Cannibal Holocaust, and it didn't work out.
It crapped out on us. We tried to watch it on Hulu, and it wouldn't work at your house.
It would not work.
Yeah. We did watch Suspiria. We didn't do an episode on it.
We were supposed to. Because you and Nick kept laughing about it.
Well, and we finished the movie, and we were all kind of just like, I don't know what I can say
about
it. Like, I really don't know. I think you guys could have a really good conversation about Suspiria.
Yeah, we did. We'll talk about it. Yeah.
We did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Like, your conversation about Suspiria is way better than anything that you and Nick and
I was so funny, though. These guys, they cracked me up. The music just made them laugh. Like, for no reason, they thought that was the funniest thing.
God, we should have gone to a Goblin concert.
We should have. Yes. We should have gone to the John Carpenter concert.
Yeah, that was like last week.
Yeah.
We went to it last year. Alex didn't. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My life is very busy right now.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Alex.
MidwestPodcastNetwork.com. Find out about all of our shows. We may or may not have some more interesting stuff in the works. I know I say that a lot. There's a lot of ideas being thrown around, but we're working on doing a lot of different things. So keep an eye on it there.
Things and stuff.
Sir.
Thanks.
All right, let's get out of here. Bye bye, man and woman.